My name is Loretta Sun Nam, creator, founder, and producer of the Surviving Social Work in California podcast, along with my co-host, Susan Martinez. I've had my share of trying to survive social work for the last nearly 20 years, beginning in first LA and now the Bay Area. I was one of those social workers who left the field, only to be called back. I never thought I would have the opportunity to receive clinical supervision after not being in the clinical realm for some time. I was definitely not going to pay for supervision. Through my frustrations have come many lessons learned and gratitude to be shared with you.
Hello, everyone. This year actually marks my 20-year anniversary in social work. I started as a BSW in 2001. And in 05 with my MSW, I'm now a licensed clinical social worker. I was born, raised, and have worked in LA County all my life. We're both social workers who developed our careers in California and actually met virtually through support groups, just like this past March when quarantine hit.
We began hearing of social workers trying to survive in their work, which resulted in this podcast. Welcome to Surviving Social Work in California. We are officially kicking off our new year with our inaugural episode, and who better to start the year off with than Amanis Senati, who is definitely doing big things this year. My co-host, Susan Martinez, is here to introduce Amanis.
And happy new year, everyone. I am proud to introduce Amanis Senati, who is a first-generation Iranian-Mexican-American, and the mother to an 8 and 5 year old. She's also a mental health clinical supervisor with LA County at Twin Towers Correctional Facility, regional director for National Association of Social Workers, co-founder of Westside Activists, volunteer with Grassroots Neighbors, Westside Pacific Villages, and the Y. Thank you for being here, Amanis.
Hi, thank you so much for the intro and for having me today for the inaugural interview. Wow.
You're doing big things, Amanis, and one of those things is entering the political arena, potentially. Let's start off with that and how this came about.
It is a big thing, and I kind of just jumped into this within the past 3 weeks. So I was talking with my mentor, Mr. Victor Manalo, the Honorable Victor Manalo, and he is the president-elect for National Association of Social Workers. So I was always intrigued with his political background, and that's why he's taken on the task of mentoring me. So one day he said, wait, would you be interested in becoming a delegate? And I said, well, yeah, how do we do that? And that was pretty much it. So within a few days, I got the application, I put everything in. And before I could even fully realize what the position entailed, I was signed up and on the ballot. So that was it. That was about 3.5 weeks ago. And now we are full into a campaign, and I will be launching things off starting today, actually, because we're right through the holidays now. But I definitely announced things before so that people were aware. I mean, the whole thing with politics, you just got to get yourself out there, and you got to do it now, and you got to make yourself known. So that's what I've been working on now.
So for those of us who don't know, what is a delegate?
Like I mentioned, I didn't know much about it either. And it was actually funny because we were listening to Hamilton the other day, and my daughter says, Mom, Hamilton was a delegate. So, you know, this is something that's been going on, but we just, I want to demystify things, and that's why I'm getting involved in it. And what it is we have in every assembly district in California, particularly, we have 80 of them. And every district has 7 elected self-identified female and 7 elected self-identified males who are from the Democratic Party. And we comprise a bigger committee of people who have a say in the policies that we want to be essential to our party and the people who will be representing us. So it's a really hands-on way to get our voice into what our Democratic Party is going to represent, what it will be. So we can help shape in that way as well. And that's pretty much it. It's a volunteer position. This is not like a paid full-time situation, like an assembly member or a Congress member. I mean, that would be maybe something later, but I thought this would be an excellent way to step into this arena with more force than I've been able to before.
And tell us your location, where your demographics, your geography of where this will take place.
Yes. So I am in Assembly District 62, and we are very much kind of a West LA, inclusive of some South Bay and a little bit inland. So in my district, we span from Venice through Marina del Rey. I'm in Playa del Rey, down just south of us in El Segundo. And we also go into the areas of like Inglewood, some of Mar Vista's in there. We have Lenox, Hyde Park, different areas, Del Air, all of that part. It's a pretty, if you look on a map, it's a pretty circular oval kind of shape that is all part of this district. So the 14 individuals that would be elected into this position would be from these areas. And that is the district we'd be representing.
And with so much that you already have on your plate and going on, and you're part of so many groups, why did you feel it was so important for you to be involved and run for office or as a delegate?
Well, I believe it goes hand in hand. A lot of the work I do is all with the focus of social justice and challenging social injustice and advocacy. So I feel like this is just the next step for the work that I've been doing in my career and in my, I mean, I consider the stuff I do in my spare time, it's all part of my career. It's all very centric to one main cause, one main purpose. And this is just a way for me to elevate the issues that I have noticed to be a concern among my people, our community. And, you know, it just makes sense at this point. I mean, I'm usually out there outside with a megaphone, you know, rallying sometimes hundreds of people. And this would be a way to legitimize that. And I think this is just a fantastic opportunity to do that. You know, I didn't expect this opportunity to come so fast where I'd be able to run for a political office and actually get to that point where I can be elected and to have the honor of representing people. But here we are, you know, so let's go 2021. I'm throwing myself into it. And I just think it absolutely seems logical, for lack of any other word. It just seems like the logical thing to do.
You spoke about representation when we first met, and how important is that for you as a delegate that's running?
You know, I think there are a lot of us who feel underrepresented. And I think when you feel under, when you don't feel you're represented, you don't feel you have the equal voice as other people. I mean, I personally believe that. And I think when you don't feel that you're represented, you know, that kind of goes into your purpose of life, your purpose in society. And I think all that stuff matters. And I think we need to do, as a society, we have failed to engage everyone so that they know that their voice matters. And we have work to do to engage every single person so that they know they have a voice and they know how to use it and they know why it matters. So part of doing that is electing people who look like us, who represent the issues that matter to us, who understand us.
Why is it important for you as a mother to run for office?
Very passionate about social justice issues and very passionate about being involved in my democracy. It was something that still was running very much through my veins as I was trying to figure out my role as a mother, my role as a working mother. So I want to see more of my voice reflected.
Amanice, I think it's really wonderful how you incorporate your children.
To be able to continue my social working, you know, in the off time, it's a beautiful thing. And my children don't know any different. I mean, the work that we do, you know, for example, once a week, I take them with me to Grassroots Neighbors and we pack up groceries that are going to go directly to people who need help right now. And, you know, my daughter takes pride in knowing like, okay, so there's three kids in this family and, you know, the mom has a brain injury. Okay, so we have to come up with easy food for her. And my son will say, oh, let's give this for the grandparents. You know, they get really involved and they think about what they're doing. And that is what they're learning. So it's a balance for me because my kids are being, you know, they have activities, especially during the pandemic. They're being active. They're learning.
That's a great way to balance it. Do you feel like there's enough social workers out there involved? I don't really meet a lot of social workers that are involved politically as you are.
I think a lot of us are burnt out. I really do. And I think a lot of people went into this profession to do the work with the people, you know, clinically, maybe in groups. And it's very difficult work. It's draining. And a lot of them, I think, I think that's really where it ends. And maybe they don't see the connection that's so becoming more and more clear to me of how that work plays a role in our democracy, how those people above, you know, that's kind of how it's viewed, right? The ivory tower, the people making the laws, those people don't really have access to them. I think it's just something that's a little bit removed from most people's perspective on something that social work should really care about. But there's a direct connection there. We are directly affected, and we absolutely need to be involved in this process. There's no one that understands our clients better than us. And as you know, as the income gap continues to widen, you know, we are losing our middle class. I mean, we are working with the people dealing with these issues face to face. Like, we understand these issues better than so many others. We should be their voice. That is what I got into this profession for. We need to be their voice. And, you know, helping them immediately through the work we do day to day in our profession work, you know, where we get our paycheck, you know, right, or not. I mean, some people volunteer. That stuff is helping, yes, but we have to start to look at the bigger picture and how we can fix this from a more powerful, from a higher up perspective, you know, from the macro perspective. So I think we absolutely are in an advantage because of the work we do. And at this point, it's really up to us to somehow find a way to, you know, get creative so we can elevate this voice.
You mentioned before that Victor was a great part of the influence of you getting involved in the politics. And you mentioned that this was part of a mentorship program. Can you tell us more about that mentorship program?
You know, it's something that I'd thought about before. There are mentorship programs that exist, and I was involved in one of them at UCLA. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't know what to expect from it. That was the first time I had been exposed. And I thought it was something that just lasted while I was at school. So like, I didn't really fully utilize my mentorship back then until later into my career. I've heard people talk about their mentors, and I thought, well, does this still go on? Do people have mentors? So it was a result of that and my curiosity of mentorship in itself, and just, you know, a way to provide some hope. Because honestly, some of our students and our recent graduates were really struggling because they didn't have that connection to someone who can tell them, yeah, you're doing the right thing. Maybe you should do this, you know, just somebody to bounce ideas off of and to provide them some guidance. So, you know, it's just been a rewarding opportunity to experience on both sides of it, you know, having a mentor and being a mentor. And I just think that from the conversations that I've had thus far, it's been really successful, and I'm really happy that we pulled it together, because, you know, like any program, we can have the idea, you know, we can even jot some words about it, but actually making it, putting it into action is a whole other process. And that is something I pride myself in, is action. So this was a result. And thanks to Hazel Tercero, the assistant regional director, we got it done.
It is through NASW Region H that this mentorship program has developed. You know, this interview with Amanice is definitely for us to showcase her talents and not for us to influence any votes. We are interested in letting you all know what her journey into social work and surviving social work, as our podcast is called, is like. And I think Amanice has given us a great synopsis. Well, thank you so much, Amanice, for your time and talent and everything that you're doing for the community. Good luck with everything.
Thank you both from the bottom of my social work heart. I'm just so grateful, and happy new year, everybody. This is our year. 2020 is behind us now. Woo!
Surviving Social Work is a product of the Color Compendium. All ideas and opinions are individual to those featured and not a product or influenced by any professional organization or affiliation.